Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey everybody, welcome to More Than That. This is a podcast where we take the preacher or the speaker from the previous Sunday and we pull them aside and just sit them down and ask, if you had 10 more minutes, what would you have talked on? And I am sitting here with
Rafael Mkanth.
And my name is Tyler Henry. So, Pastor Rafael, what would you have talked more about or introduced something new if you had 10 extra minutes?
So for me, like, I think it was just getting overwhelmed by looking at how God wants his people to flourish. Mm-hmm. And so the way, for example, like, he gives them these type of laws that we're in right now, this is heavy, this is like thick woods kind of stuff, where it's like, it's so easy to not see the heart of God in there, because all you're seeing is rules. Mm-hmm. And these are what we call the apodictic laws that are like just applying to them without exception to all Israelites and stuff. And so, but like, really now, I think I wanted to really just spend a little bit more time, just unpacking that God's laws, all of them were just, they were not just for law's sake. Mm-hmm. Behind it was almost like a refreshment of God's people. Of them being holy, of them being, and just really like where, for example, the first one, the rhythms of rest, where at the end of the day, he wanted to make sure that, like, you know, we're not grinding 24/7. They were not grinding 24/7, because behind that is almost like an insecurity of actually saying, if I don't work, mm-hmm. you know, things are going to fall apart. And if so, God puts within the mechanism of within that time, like, just some type of rest. And then he's rescued them from Egypt, rescued them from slavery, where they work nonstop. And God wants them to know, number one, that he's different than Pharaoh, mm-hmm. and whatever other gods were there. But then also he is a God who everything, if creation ends with rest, everything should lead to rest. And so mm-hmm. so that for me was like one of the things that I really wanted to spend more time just like really just kind of bringing out, that like there is a sadness of the fact that like we in our work ethic, we like just to work. We work so that we can rest, right? Mm-hmm. We work so that we can finally get to a moment of resting. But yet really now, there's an upside down, way in which God has called us to function. You know, as they work, they're already God's children. And then so there's almost like an upside down way where the way of the kingdom, the way of the kingdom kind of moves from actually not working for rest, but resting, like resting and working, and then resting. So it's almost like so you are at rest. You are at rest because, you know, you don't work to rest. You live from a place of rest so that you can work. That's really what somebody said that, like, in a blog in X29. Like, way at the end of the day, it's like this thing where we're like examining the foundation from which you live. And then in that article, there were questions: do you work to rest or live from a place of rest so that you can work? What story does your calendar tell of how many of how you order your days, week, and months, and towards rest? Do you have set apart day to follow God's command of rest? What worries, concerns emerge as you approach that time? You know, what are possible impacts of not resting? And just really just kind of looking at all that stuff and just saying, so I say that God is our rest. We need a constant reminder. And because once that actually that becomes, once that becomes a reality of our lives, then all of a sudden we're resting. We are working. We're not working to rest. We live in a place of rest so that we can now work. We live. God is our rest. And then not only that, in the gospel, Jesus is our rest. Is our rest. Come to me, all who are weary. So therefore, by pursuing God on a daily basis, we're pursuing rest.
Yeah.
And then in a world where, so whether this is Sabbath, and in a world where now we tend to forget and look at ourselves as the only source of our own provision and all that stuff, also the rhythm of worship. Like almost like these little marathon space, like marathon rest areas in life need to be about recalibrating our souls so that we can remember who is the source of our provision in life. So you see God actually just like taking right in the time of agriculture where they were so prone to actually go and find and worship others. So he says, hey, don't even name those gods. Because when you name them in an oral culture, naming them meant that actually, like, that's actually a way of discipleship.
Yeah.
So, and everything is done. If you realize on a Sunday morning, everything is actually moving towards, everything is just oral. Like, we sing, we listen to the word of God, we do all that stuff is because what you talk about the most. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so God was just really moving and saying, also just like, and saying three times you will do this. And so really just kind of spending, on Sunday, I would have even just gone a lot more into really almost condensing our series, why do we do that? Why baptism? Why Lord's Supper? Why offering? Why serve? Why do all those things? Because all those things actually get you out. Tim Keller has a little book called The Freedom That Is Found in Self-Forgetfulness. When literally, like, you are now taking your life and posturing yourself so that now you can, it's not all about you. The cyclical events that we have, whether it's like every single year we've got Easter, we've got Christmas, Advent, we've got all these other things. All of those are meant to actually recalibrate you so that you realize it's not about you. It's about someone bigger than you. So therefore, put yourself underneath that person. And then lastly, obviously, offering. And in there you see just all these offering rules that are there. And all of them as well, like generosity is a way that actually helps you recognize it's not all dependent on you. So really at the end of the day, hey, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about you in terms of rest. It's not about you in terms of you're not the one whom the world revolves around. That's worship secures that. And then but giving also, it's you're not the main source of taking care of yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, take a walk, look the lilies, do all that stuff and see that there's a God who's... So really at the end of the day, yeah, that's... I would have kind of pushed even some more into these kind of things of actually like, man, why is it that then generosity is important? Because God could just provide.
Mm-hmm.
But yet it's in within that as I make intentional steps to take something out of my account and give, as I make intentional steps to actually give of my time, my talents, and my treasures,
mm-hmm.
I'm reminding myself that I'm also on borrowed time. What I have is also a gift. And then you see what I mean? All mm-hmm. those things, like, these are all gifts. All these the reminders are all, they all have one thing in saying. It's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's about finding rest in Him. It's about finding what? True meaning in Him. And then it's about actually finding provision in Him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like that. And as, especially like once you got into like the sacrifices and stuff like that, as somebody who raises support,
yeah.
like that to me was like, okay, so... There is, like, just a, another reminder that there is a biblical basis for raising support.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, like, that's how a lot, like, growing up in this area with a very kind of a denominational background, that's how a lot of pastors are paid, is by support that comes from a church.
Yeah.
Like, yes, the church supports them. They get paid by the church. But it's all kind of dependent on what the church brings in.
Yeah.
So it's a really, really good time to kind of sit back and reflect on, you know, what does sacrifice look like, for the sake of the gospel? You know, I like mowing the lawn.
Yeah.
It's for me that I find rest in that. Not a whole lot of people do, but. How am I able to use something that I find rest to bless somebody else?
Yeah.
That's good. I had a thought like going in. I want to get your thoughts on it as well. Because you mentioned how it's an intentional time that we take for the Sabbath. It's an intentional time that we set back to rest and to recalibrate ourselves.
Yeah.
So the thought that I had, and let me know what you think. But I think that we don't do this enough or as much as we should because we're afraid of that recalibration.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We are afraid. So we're afraid of that recalibration because recalibrating also leads us to... Probably I would say this. This is like... in YWAM... I was in an organization called Youth of the Mission,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I remember one of my leaders approaching me about just being noisy. Like, I just mm-hmm. like I always wanted something going on. So I was a clown. I was always just like you know
you
what I mean.
Know.
Like I was a clown. Love to laugh. Love to always just the entertainer. The all that
yeah.
stuff. And he asked me one thing, and he's like, are you afraid of yourself? Because what happens when we get into a stillness? What are we scared to discover?
Lots of stuff, man.
Are we scared?
Yeah.
Like, he actually asked me that. Like, I think you do not want to deal with you, so therefore you distract yourself
mm-hmm.
from dealing with you.
Yeah.
It's actually like almost like a way in which and the biggest reason behind that is because there was so much grief
mm-hmm.
in my life. And I didn't want to face the pain I was going through. So then I amused myself. I would amuse myself so that I would avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I had done? I had done exactly the same thing I had done before I was a believer. like where I would literally just like, I would run towards alcohol, drugs and all that stuff in order to just forget the gravity of what's going on and stuff like that. But yet at the same time, resisting that is resisting literally like finally coming in. It's literally like it's like stillness before God is like going to the doctor and looking at the doctor and saying, how bad is it, doc? And the doctor say, I've got bad news. Mm-hmm. The bad news is that you're running towards this and that for refuge and all that.
Yeah.
The good news is that I have rest for you. That's what God says. Be still and know that I am God. Mm-hmm. Like exalt me above everything because I you know, be still. Come to me, all who are weary. But we avoid that because we are scared of the bad news that we're gonna find. Mm-hmm. But yet actually like for the believer, we need to actually also recognize that like there's also good news in there. That good news is that like, yeah, in the moment of stillness there, I might recognize that like I'm a self-serving jerk that cares only about himself.
Yeah.
But it's also, remember where the Spirit convicts, he's also extending what? Grace and renewal and what? Repentance. And it's actually just the pathway to a new, better you, right? So, we avoid it.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, you know, I spent a lot of time, like the first couple years of me being at City Church and like being intentional in the community, I spent a lot of time like in the Birds home group.
Yeah.
And it took me forever and it still boggles my mind that it didn't dawn on me until he pointed it out. But Gus was saying, like, the reason that I don't pipe up and say something when there's a long silence, like that awkward silence, is because I want people to wrestle in the silence. I want people to be okay with it. Because if you want to or if you feel the need to break the silence, start asking yourself, why do I need to feel that? Why do I need to feel the need to break the silence?
Yeah.
And that set me personally on like this like really crazy journey to think or to the point of where now I'm okay with silence. Yeah, I do have my own thoughts going on in my head and stuff like that, but when I'm at home, I don't have music pumping all the time anymore.
Yeah.
I'll have a podcast or something like that, but sometimes I just relish in the silence and just allow God to speak to me through that.
Yeah.
Also like through meditation and all that stuff. But yeah, no, that's really good.
And there's also just this thing of like silence, solitude.
Mm-hmm.
A ton of times, those are so, so, so beneficial. And all these things, man, like, Dietrich Bonhoeffer in his book Life Together said this, let him who cannot be alone beware of community.
Mm, yeah.
I was just kind of like, whoa, okay. And he says he will only do harm to himself and to the community. Alone you stood before God when he called you. Alone you had to answer that call. Alone you had to struggle and pray. Alone you will die and give an account to God. You cannot escape from yourself, for God has singled you out. So if you refuse to be alone, you are rejecting Christ's call to you. You cannot have no part in the community of those who are called. The challenge of death comes to us all. And no one can die for one another. Everyone must fight his own battle with death by himself alone. And I will not be with you then, nor will you be with me. That's like, just basically, he was quoting Martin Luther there. Mm-hmm. He kind of just has this paradox there. Like, let him who cannot be alone beware of community. But also, let him who cannot be in community beware of being alone. Mm-hmm. Like, as in, like, Yes, Jesus has saved you so you can actually, like, it's an individual personal faith, but it's also a communal faith.
Mm-hmm.
But we can avoid being alone and literally make it all about the communal aspect, and we're avoiding literally, like, ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to actually be able to, like, have those moments of being quiet and setting aside time to really be renewed before God. And so yeah. Mm-hmm. A ton of times when, like, and that's, smartphones are just so, that they also kind of, like, I have become a best way of escaping.
Yeah.
And so there's a little book that I want to recommend as well. It's called Escaping Escapism by Dave Griffith Jones. And I love that because, like, what he does is that basically, like, he just speaks about the fact that, like, we have a way in which we are always trying to actually what? To escape. So there's a gospel that we actually, like, when we run towards other things, we're actually saying that, like, we are escaping to those things instead of actually escaping to God. And so when we destruct ourselves, we're doing that. Like, when we, you know, we can be able to say that instead of this is my refuge, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is my refuge. So for example, you know, it's one of those things, like, where we're at the end of a day. So for example, like someone said, like he gives kind of examples in there, as in, like, someone who feels nervous at a gathering where she doesn't know anyone. So she checks Facebook on her phone, and then the internet is her refuge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, this person is embarrassed that they've lost their temper at someone in church. So he's staying at home and he's not answering the doorbell or the phone. His house becomes the shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Struggling with your debt, and then you feel like you cannot say no to your children's demands for toys and gadgets and outings, and then all of a sudden your family has become your refuge and your light, you know?
Yeah.
Just things like that, like where it's like you're looking at all these things where you know, sometimes we you know, we don't want to let people know. We can find, you know, strength in alcohol. We can find, you know what I mean, like not failing being our salvation or something like that.
Yeah.
Where there's a million ways in which we can run to other things instead of running to God.
Mm-hmm.
And then that just becomes our refuge.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's like, why am I running? I think all this whole text was just, you know, I was just amazed at all the things that came out of it. because I just like, but like this whole text is just God saying that I am what you need.
Yeah.
And so therefore, then we run to him. But yet really at the end of the day, you know, we can find and rest in something else that's tangible.
Mm-hmm.
Find provision. Is God enough? But man, I don't see God. So maybe a person that I can see is maybe my phone that I can see.
Yeah.
That's now where the wrestle becomes, you're telling me God is enough. Where is he right now? I want something that's tangible. And that's where the sadness of our faith can, like, it can be sad because we're so addicted to the tangible instead mm-hmm. of actually believing, be going beyond ourselves, which is faith.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the kind of the sad part, but also the humbling part about being in a fast food culture.
Yep. Yep.
Is that when, like, I don't know, like, when I go to, like, a fast food restaurant, I go expecting not good quality stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, when I go to a sit-down restaurant, like, I don't even know one off the top of my head. Like, the Moon and Raven has really, really good, like, well-done food.
Yeah.
I go there, I sit, I wait.
Yeah.
And then I get this amazing meal that's placed right in front of me. Yeah, it's made in a mass production because they need to be able to do that. But still, everything's made from scratch.
Mm.
And it's a better quality meal than if I were to go to McDonald's and I can get it in 5 minutes.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
Sitting and waiting and resting in that and getting good food versus going to your phone for 5 seconds and getting something that's going to distract you for 5 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. That's a, isn't it really where we need help with?
Mm-hmm.
We need help because at the end of the day, man, like, I think a million times there's a Puritan prayer. I think it's a Puritan prayer or like a prayer that says, forgive us for things that we have done. And not only that, but like, forgive us for the things that we have left undone.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
things we've left that we have done. But a ton of times omission becomes our, because the more you distract yourself, it's like, yeah, there's something that's undone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it's like, yeah, it is what it is. You know exactly what needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that day becomes like, it can be very easy to end up leaving a lot of things undone simply because it's like, yeah, I just amused myself with something else. I'm guilty of that. We're all guilty of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. Really, really good stuff there. So, yeah, thank you again for the sermon on Sunday, and thank you for the conversation. And for those of you that are listening, I just want to remind you, this is not a replacement for that sermon and for or a replacement for being involved in a local church.
Yeah.
If you're in our local community, please come see us. We'd love to be your home church. We would love to meet you. But if not, and you're somewhere else, go get involved in a local church. Everything that you're going to experience there is going to be that good food. So, Raphael, thank you so much for everything that you do, and have a good week, guys. God bless.
Cheers.